they are. I'm not sure that I can pull that all up right at this moment, but I am not using just simple exercises. But because a singer who is injured should not go beyond a certain range, I'm using smaller ranges. I start very small and go this way. So I like your point about adding the kinds of anomalies we see. I've treated, in fact, in my poster paper, you can see more about the anomalies I've treated. Bilateral paresis and nodules and polyps are probably the most common ones that we see. And then, of course, in hemorrhage, you're not going to be silent for quite a while until you start a therapeutic protocol. But in the interest of presenting a 30-minute presentation here, we wanted to talk more about how we work collaboratively and in a broader, general way. So, but thanks for that point.
And just to add to that, one of the concerns that I had with the screening process was actually your example of the strobe image was the bilateral vocal fold pre-nodular swelling condition. And one of the things we see a lot with singers is if they've sung for a prolonged period of time, it's actually a natural condition to have pre-nodular swelling. It's a normal laryngeal finding. And so if the students have just come from the practice room and they come for a laryngeal exam and they see pre-nodular swellings and you say, oh, you've got pre-nodular swellings, they hear nodules and they're going to freak. And so, you know, that's, I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, again, we don't want to have...
That's why there's always differential diagnosis and an otolaryngologist is involved.
Right.
And we do get at least two different views of the vocal cords. But
good.
Heidi probably has
But a lot of laryngologists who... I'm sure you're going to use somebody who's a laryngologist and familiar with voice. But if it's just an ENT who doesn't see a lot of voice cases, they may not know that.
Yeah, I think you mean an ENT who doesn't work with a number of performing voices.
Right.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. It's so critical when we're finding an optimal otolaryngologist that we use one that has familiarity and genuine appreciation for the singing voice. And in terms of your, I appreciate your comment about the pre-nodular thickening.
Yeah.
Whenever, I have to tread lightly whenever I share those findings with a singer, because you're right. It's correct me if I'm wrong, but the general message that I've been receiving from all of my colleagues in the singing community is that hearing a diagnosis of vocal nodules is almost a death sentence among the singing community. So I really try to tread lightly and with kid gloves. And what I usually say is, this may be your unique structure. I'm seeing what looks to be some early evidence of possible pre-nodular thickening, but guess what? I've seen a whole lot worse. And the great thing about this is that it has the potential to get better. The possible scary thing about this is it could get worse, so I think maybe we need to look at some prevention practices to see what we can do to make sure that your larynx remains as healthy as it possibly can. So,
but I really congratulate you at the progressiveness and your thinking.
Thank you. Thank you.